Praise the Lord, church. You can be seated just for a few moments. I want to give honor to Brother and Sister Calwin, the bishop of this church. Brother Calwin's doing a great job. I believe in this man. And I believe in the work that he's doing here. I believe in this church. Amen. We want to give honor to the good elder, the previous pastor of this church tonight. Brother Worth and I have been friends now going on 8 years when we first met. There's been a kindred spirit ever since we first met. But we are honored to be here with the church tonight. You are the reason I exist. You are the reason this bishop exists over here. The church, the saints, the highest calling in the church. I teach my young men, Brother Calwin, that when you're called to preach, that's a demotion, not a promotion. Because you went from being served to being a servant. And you say, what do you mean? Well, the ministry exists solely for the purpose of the church. He said he set the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the church, for the work of the ministry, for the work, for the body of Christ. Yes. And I said all that to say this, that you are special to God. God would create a bishopry in the church, a headship in the church. Now, don't you take for one moment that I am de-escalating the pastor. He's God's man. He's the watchman on the wall. He's the voice here. But he is the voice here because there's saints here tonight. And we are living in a very dangerous time, but yet a very promising time.
All right.
Although we're living in a time when evil spirits are more running, more rampant than ever before. I didn't come into this thing yesterday. I'm 64 year old. Should I say young? I found out I had places I didn't know I had because they hurt. But I didn't come in this thing yesterday. I remember when we were fighting issues in the church as a young man. And we were fighting, as when I was a young man, we were fighting the hippie age, the long hair old men.
Yeah.
We were fighting, you know, keeping things out of the church. But the war has changed. And we are fighting things. I thought in America we fought the Revolution War just for freedom. Then we fought among ourselves for freedom for certain ones.
Sure.
Then we began to fight outside forces. We had the Vietnam War. We had the Korean conflict. Then we had Desert Storm. But today, we are not fighting a foreign enemy in our country.
All right.
We're literally fighting for the soul of our country. Where they're trying to teach in our schools that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. And we're fighting this, but the danger is that we're coming into the church and we're fighting things, Brother Worth, in the church. Brother Calwin, we're fighting things in my church I didn't think I'd ever have to fight in the church of the living God. Because there is a spiritual battle, a warfare, if you please, that's going on in the midst of us. You've got to understand the fight tonight. You've got to understand what's happening. There's a fight that's going on. And our fight is not flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. We are fighting in the mind tonight. The mind is the best battlefield for the Christian today. It is the battlefield where the enemy's trying to hit us. But I come to preach some good news to you tonight. I didn't come just to tell you how bad the world was. I didn't come to tell you how bad the battle is. I come to tell you it's time to take the limits off. It is not time to be reserved living for God. No, no, no. You see, when you was born again of the Spirit, the Bible said you shall receive power. Acts 1:8. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Can I tell you, you're not sitting in this building powerless. The devil like to tell you you're empty. Somebody like to tell you, well, it's a burnover field. Well, when I came to Kansas, I learned something about burnover fields. I was driving down through, what's these hills, Flint Hills. And all at once, I just began to see fire all over the place. And I was with a brother in the church and said, what's going on? He said, oh, they're burning the fields, getting them ready to plant. So, hey, let the field be burned over. But if there ever was a time for the church to take the limits off and take this message outside these walls, it's right now. There's hungry people that wants this message. There's hungry people that need a touch from God. And it's up to us to get the limits off. Woo! Come on, you young men. It's time you open your mouth and quit trying to, you know. Can I go ahead and talk to you young men a minute? Time you quit talking, you know, acting like a little girl, like you're embarrassed. When you're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to be open and you need to be smiling and you don't need to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I got a young man in my church. He come to me and he said, Pastor, I just don't talk loud and I'm kind of reserved and I don't do that. I said, okay. So I waited till the next youth night. He was the loudest. He was the most brazen. I walked up to him. I said, hey, you ain't too mellow now. You see, we limit ourselves. Because, hey, you've got the greatest message of all times. You've got the only saving message of repentance of sin. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. Why would we not want to give the greatest thing that ever exists to mankind to others around us? Well, nobody wants it. You want it. Are you telling me there's nobody else in the world like you around here? Oh, I'm going somewhere with this tonight. Trust me. I'm not trying to pastor. You got a pastor already. I'm just trying to be evangelistical between being a pastor and a Bible teacher and whatever else. And I'm the janitor at our church too sometimes. But it's not about my title. It's about there's lost souls that's needing God. But we are sitting in a church full of people tonight that you feel like you've been spent. And I don't know. I come to tell you tonight, you're not as empty as you think you are.
Right.
I come to tell you that you've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I know I've not read a scripture yet, but I'm about to. In 2 Kings 4:1, now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets that said unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take my two sons to bond. Oh, what a sad story. We're a church. If we're not careful, we'll come with that same story. But pastor, you don't understand. I've got a job to work. And pastor, I don't have time to witness. Pastor, I don't have time. I'm going to tell you when the enemy comes after you. I remember about 18, 20 years ago, I raised my son in church. And I was working a job, full-time job. I was pastoring a church. I had a snow cone machine. I was also managing 24 condos. I didn't have time to stop and do anything. But the devil stole my son. And me and my wife realized that the money wasn't worth it. We went on a 7-day fast in the church. We didn't come out of the church for 7 days. We fell on our face. What did you do? I kept preaching. I kept preaching the gospel. I kept telling him, hey, son, this is true. I'm going to tell you, when the devil comes after your young people, when he comes after your children, you'll find time to pray. You'll find time to witness. If you're not careful, the devil's going to make you think, hey, I'm losing everything. Sometimes, I'm going to preach what I feel tonight. Sometimes you look at mama and say, mama, what's the use for us going to church anymore? It seems like we're empty. And it seems like everything around us is dying. The only way that a field dies is if somebody quits planting seed. As long as you plant the seed, there's going to be life. What are you saying, Brother Abernathy? As long as we're telling the story of Jesus Christ planting the seed, life will be in the church. I come to tell you, you're not as empty as what you think you are. The sad story this woman's telling. They're coming. And they're taking away my children. Now mamas, you, and daddies, listen. You know how much you love your children. They're coming to take your kids away from you. If they're coming to take everything you have away, there'd be some crying out. She realized that when things began to hit the dirt, she needed a man of God in her life. She needed another word of God. When you feel like you're empty and you don't have anything else to give, why don't you say, man of God, I feel like I'm empty. I don't have anything. It's like the enemy's taking my joy away. I'm here to tell you, it's time to take the limits off of God. It's time to take the limits off the message that we love. This message is powerful. This message is holy. This message is right. It's time we take the limits off. I may get in trouble for this, Sister Cowan, but some, hand me that Kleenex box. I'll buy you another one. Where you at? Don't get mad at me. But we got God in a box, like we got these Kleenexes. We got God in our little box. We can use these Kleenexes when we want it. Oh, God can, God can only operate in the midst of our little box. Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. They didn't understand what they were and who they were. But if there ever was a time for the church to open the box, take the limits off of God. Let them fall where they may. But God, we need the church filled. This church needs to be filled with hungry souls. This church needs to be filled with young men and young women that love God. Come on. The creditors has come. The enemy's come. I'm, oh, Brother Abernathy, I'm fighting mind games. Y'all pick them up if you want. I'm fighting mind games. Who'd ever thought that the preacher had to crawl in the pulpit and preach to apostolic people that porn's wrong? That pornography, it's such a hold in our country. It has now surpassed the banking industry.
Go ahead, preach. Yeah.
Yeah. It is literally the largest industry in America. It's because we're fighting battles and spirits and ugliness and fornication and things in the church. Hey, church, you don't have to give in to those spirits, young men, young women. You hear me? You don't need that junk. What you need is an anointing in your life. You need a prayer life. You need a... Well, I just feel like preaching a while. Is that okay?
Go ahead.
What am I going to do, Pastor? What am I going to do? Had a lady in my church came to me several months back. Pastor, I need to talk to you. My son's backslid. He's quit church. My kids are just fighting at home. I've lost my desire to come to church. Me and my brother, we're fighting. We're into it with my other sister. And then she said, Pastor, how can I fix this? It's gone so far. How can I fix it? I said, sister, I took her by the hand.
Yeah.
Well, let me get your son. Get over here. Come here, sister. I took her by the hand. I led her out of my office. I walked her into the sanctuary. I said, I'm not your answer. There's your answer right there. I said, do you remember, sister, that when you started prayer meetings in the church, you had your girls, you had all the young people gathering around you praying? When you quit praying, the devil began to take over. I said, you don't only start prayer meeting again at the church every day, but you take it home and you have prayer meeting in your living room with your family. 3 weeks later, her son came back and prayed through to the Holy Ghost. Every one of her girls have been refilled with the Holy Ghost. They're on the target. Every Saturday they're knocking on doors. Prayer changes things. The man of God said, what shall I do for thee? He says, I've got a magic pill for you. No, that ain't what he said. He didn't say, come here. I've got a miracle I want to share with you. No. He pointed a finger right back at her. He said, what do you have in your house? Some of you think you're empty. Some of you think it's all done and over. I'm here to tell you revival's just beginning right here. Hey, revival just now starting to happen right here. Revival don't happen when you bring a preacher in. No evangelist has revival in their in their briefcase. They don't open their briefcase and out pops revival. But before the evangelist comes, revival starts in the church. Revival starts right here in the sanctuary. I hope I'm not out of place, Bishop. Revival's not going to start out there. It's going to start in here when some good godly people realize I need to pray like I was taught to pray. I ought to embarrass these young men and ask them when's the last time they fasted. See, when I was home, that's what I did. Y'all better thank God I'm not home. So what did you do? I pulled my young men up and I said, when's the last time you fasted? Yeah. I said, and you're the one who just come to me and said you had a problem in your life you didn't know how to get rid of, and you can't even tell me the last time you fasted. Say, that's me. No. It's the kindest thing that a man of God can do to you is to point out to you, what do you have in your home? That's what the man of God asked the woman. She says, what have you got in your homes? I got just a little bit of oil. Boy, just a little. It's about time you get a new bottle, brother. I'm glad you got just a little in there. I've got just a little bit of oil. He says, use what you got. You see, a lot of times we feel like we're so empty. You're not as empty as you think you are.
Right.
Brother, you may feel like the devil's beating a tire out of you sometimes. But I come to tell you, take the limits off of God and they point him to the God that you serve. You need to tell him about the God that you serve. You need to tell him about the God that you worship. Well, I'm afraid the church is going to close down. The church ain't going down. The church is going up. I come to serve notice on the devil with you tonight. That the church doors are not going to close. But it was up to the woman and her children. The church is the woman. And you are the children of God. It was up to her and her children to go get all the vessels they could get. But I don't know. Our Wednesday night service is pretty dead. Sometimes I just sit down. And I just teach for about 45 minutes to an hour. It ain't all about evangelistical.
Right.
Sometimes you need the knowledge of God implanted in you.
Yes.
So you can get evangelistical.
Yes.
And operate by the power.
Right.
Uh-huh. You don't worry about it. God can fill them.
Right.
They went and got every vessel they could get. And they brought them in the house. They closed the doors. And the man of God said, you just start pouring out that little bit of oil you got. Oh God, that ain't going to fill up that container, that's for sure. But I'm going to do what the man of God says. See, all we have to do is obey. I remember in the church when obedience was one of the main messages we taught. Now people want to be excited, not taught obedience. Brother Worth, when you and I got in church, they didn't play games with us. Y'all, I told them, I said, they know Brother Epley in his old age. They know him as a kind man. I know him when he was mean. And I said this at his church. I know him when he told me to, when he'd tell you, shut your fat mouth and sit down. You don't know nothing. You need to learn something. Get up here and sit down right here. I remember one time, I'm a young minister. Man, I got it together. My chest is out.
Come on.
I'm not finished preaching.
Come on.
This is part of the message.
Yeah.
Brother, my chest was out. And I had it together.
Yeah.
But I made a stupid statement.
Amen.
Brother Epley says, I've got a message tonight from God. I want to preach on stability. And he sat on my knee like this for 45 minutes. And he preached about stability. Ain't that right, Brother Abernathy? And when he got up, I stood up and he said, now when you quit being stupid, God will use you. Oh, can I tell you? I know you say that's a little far, but thank God I'm in the church today. I'm saved. I've been pastoring for over 30 years now because a man of God would dare tell me and teach me what obedience was about. That woman would have never seen her miracle had she not been obedient. Go ye into all the world. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. What if they don't believe? Well, the Bible said they'll be damned then. You're not ground inspectors. You're seed sowers. Oh, let me say that again. You're not ground inspectors. You're seed sowers. When the sower went out, he planted the seed. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on shallow ground. Some fell among weeds. Don't you worry about the seed. God will take care of the seed. You just plant the seed. That little widow woman, she's now starting to pour. How did that happen? The first vessel, hey, bring me another one. Same amount of oil's in there. You're not as empty as you think you are. You still got the anointing. You still got the Holy Ghost. You still got the power. You're still the church of the living God. Just bring vessels in. Just start pouring in the vessel. Start pouring in the vessel. Fill them up. God, fill these boys up. God, fill them up. God, fill everyone up in the house. And when he got finished, when she got finished, hey, can I tell you, the Bible says the oil stayed. She didn't lose none of her original oil. Can I tell you, bring people to church. We're not going to lose our holiness. We're not going to lose our Holy Ghost. We're not going to lose our power. The oil will stay. Now, I wished I had the rest of this story in the Bible. I don't. But can I just tell you what I feel? I got a feeling that when that oil started getting low, wonder if it's still working. The Holy Ghost still works in 2023, just like it did in 1962 when I got the Holy Ghost. Just like it did 30 years ago. Like it did in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. The oil is the same. The Holy Ghost is the same. The message is the same. The power is the same. Take your limits off of God. She had to believe what the man of God said in order to go get all the vessels in. What saved her boys was obedience. What saved her home was obedience. You want me to tell you what's going to save your children? What's going to save your wife? What's going to save your husband? Is obedience to the word of the Lord. When he said, go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in.
Right.
I like the way Jesus said it. I hear preachers quote it wrong all the time. They say, go get the good and the bad. That's not what he said.
All right.
He said, go get the bad and the good. In other words, he didn't want you to overlook. He didn't want you to overlook at that woman that's tatted up from her neck to her ankles. They don't want you, he didn't want you to overlook that woman, that boy that's got colored hair. I got a lady in my church, I call her the psychedelic lady. A woman invited her in our church to church. She had blue, green, red, and purple hair. She had, I don't know what, a place on her body wasn't pierced. She told the woman, says, I'm going to go to church with you because you're my friend. I don't want the preacher shaking my hand.
Yeah.
I don't want him trying to tell me how to dress. You know, before church, every night, I shake everybody's hand. That's just the way I do it. There's no Bible for that. That's just what I do. I walked over and I shook Sister Rhonda's hand. She's sitting there and I said, praise the Lord, sis, good to have you. She snarled at me. She has tattoos from her neck and all the way down to her ankles. So the next Sunday, her daughter said, well, I want to go to that church where Rhonda goes. Well, I said I wasn't going to go back no more, but I'll go with you. Her 18-year-old daughter come. Well, the next week, her 20-year-old daughter said, well, I'd like to go if y'all go again. I want to go. So they came the third Sunday. And they hadn't missed a Sunday since. Can I have permission just get out of line for a moment? Okay. Can I get a second on that from somebody? So it was about 4 weeks in. I go over there. I shake Sister Rhonda's hand. I said, sis, I am so glad you're part of the church. She hasn't prayed. She snarls her nose when I'm preaching. She turns her head and looks and laughs. I just welcomed her to the church. And she kept coming. About 4 months later, this is where I'm going to misbehave. One of my Pharisees. I know y'all don't have none here. Brother, you shouldn't have laughed so loud. They wouldn't have known who you was. No, I'm just teasing with you. But one of my Pharisees come over to me, brother. He said, pastor, I want to talk to you. Says, if you let that hang around, it's going to affect the weak ones. I said, oh, my brother, who's the weak ones where I can go strengthen them? That's really what I said to him. Amen. He said, huh? I said, who's the weak ones so I can go strengthen them? He stood kind of like this. What do you mean? Well, you said it's going to affect the weak ones. Who are the weak ones? You know more than the pastor, so let me know who they are. He's kind of looked at me, and I said, when you quit trying to be the pastor and you start sowing some seed, God will let you bring somebody to church too. He said, I'm sorry, pastor. I wasn't trying to be the pastor. I said, yeah, you was. But just understand, there's only one pastor in the church. This church has been taught that. I know who your pastor was before this one. And brother, it was about 2 weeks later. On this side of the church, that woman standing there, she came up and just started kind of just done this. And one of our elder sisters went over and touched her hand and says, in Jesus' name, she's just busted bawling. Holy Ghost fell on her. She received the Holy Ghost. The next service, her daughter received the Holy Ghost. The next Sunday, her and the daughter received the Holy Ghost. And they said, we'd like to talk, told my wife, we'd like to talk to the pastor. And they had this stuff in their hands like this. And they said, these are all the piercings we had in our body. I grabbed a coffee cup and I said, put them in here. It got full, upset it down. I grabbed another one, put it in here. Hey, put it in there. So what did you do? I took down a jeweler. I said, see what you can give me for them. It's for our youth group. He looked, he said, I can give you $250. I said, we'll take it. Put it in the youth fund. So, Sister Psychedelic still had her psychedelic hair. filled with the Holy Ghost, shouting every night, come to church. Worshiping God. Guess who come paid me another visit? My Pharisee came back. Pastor. And I hope I don't step on somebody's toes. If I do, you probably need it. Pastor, don't you think it's time you tell her to dye her hair? I said, brother, we teach kids women dyeing their hair. Where's that scripture that gives me the permission to do that? I'm going somewhere with this. See, we just bring the vessels in. He says, immediately, oh, I'm not trying to be the pastor. I'm not trying to be the pastor. I said, yeah, you are. Brother, I didn't know it, but she talked to my wife, and she told my wife, she says, I was praying, and says, my hair's always been my pride, and she says, I was praying, I feel like God told me to get rid of my pride, and I know it don't mean cut it, so I probably need to color my hair. My wife didn't tell me she even talked to the lady, because I was out of town preaching, that's the reason why. And so I come in Saturday night late. My wife tells her, says, if you're going to dye your hair, you take it back your original color. She says, oh, I don't like my original color. She says, sister, God don't make ugly things. Put it back its original color. Thank God for holiness, women. So I come in church. I cut in late Saturday night. Sunday morning, I'm up, and I've come to church. And my wife's sitting there talking to a lady in the that I don't know, so I don't bother them. I walk around. My wife grabs me by the arm and says, she always calls me pastor in front of everybody. She says, pastor, says she wants to say something to you. And I said, oh, praise the Lord, sister. I said, God bless you. I'm Brother Abernathy. She's looked at me. She says, pastor, it's Sarah. Sister Psychedelic, got a hold of something. Can I tell you, there's people that still wants to live right. They don't look like us. They don't dress like us. Oh, they look all kinds of sorts of ways. Hey, let's bring the vessels in. God's got the oil. It's God that multiplies the oil. It is not man, but it is the Holy Ghost. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to quit preaching holiness. But can I tell you, when they can get a hold of it through the Holy Ghost, it's not a rule, it's not a regulation, but it's a conviction of the power of the Almighty. It's time to take the limits off. When she is finished, still had her oil. Psalm 78, 41 said, yea, they turned back and tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Who were they talking about? When they were in their flesh, when they come out of Egypt, they began, oh, God saved us, but now He can't save nobody else like He did us. It was a different day and time. I'm going to tell you, it's the same Holy Ghost. Sister, how long you had the Holy Ghost? Yes. Just approximately. You know what? The same Holy Ghost you got 30 years, God is still pouring it out today, 30 years later. It's no different. It changed you from what you was to what you are tonight. Sister, the same Holy Ghost. Brother, the same Holy Ghost. Hey, the same Holy Ghost you got is the same Holy Ghost. The oil that came out of the bottle, filled the first one up, is the same oil that came out of the bottle that filled the last one up. It don't change because of the individual. But what it does, it changes the individual to what God wants them to be. Use what you have in your house. It's not a magic wand. This man called me and says, Brother Abernathy, I have been specially anointed to have block parties. And I want to come to your town and I want to witness. I said, okay, come on. He said, but I'm also a preacher. He says, when I bring them in, I need to preach to them. I said, when you bring them in, the pastor will choose who's preaching. He said, but you don't understand how I bring them in. I pay them to come in. Yeah. Okay. I said, you want me to tell you how I get them in? The Bible says if a man wants friends, he must first show himself friendly.
Right.
I win them to Christ by winning them to myself. You don't have to pay somebody when somebody's hurting. You don't have to pay them to come and get a pain pill. They're willing to sacrifice whatever it takes. Get rid of this depression. It's time we take the limits off of God. You don't have to sit around saying to God in depression. You don't have to sit around in worry and wondering if the church is going down. The church is not going down. Esther. I've got a story to tell you. She says, oh, but I'm not allowed to go in there. She says, if you refrain to do it, God will do it from another source. But you was put here for this reason. Can I tell you, church? You can sit and do nothing. Yes, God will bring them in from another source. But why would we want God to use another church to have our babies? When I got ready to have children, I wanted my children from my wife. God wants us to have children in the church. This is the womb of God. This is the womb of the church. And babies are going to be born. But we've got to plant the seed. Exodus 4, I see this man of God. Can you be Moses for me a moment, Bishop? Stand and be Moses for me. God says, Moses, I want you to go to Augusta, and I want you to have revival. Moses had a bunch of excuses. But God, you know, I don't speak plain. That's me. I speak three languages. I speak hillbilly, hick, and a little bit of English. But Moses, I've called you to do a work. Mm-hmm. But God, you know, I killed a man back in Egypt, and if I go back there, but Moses, but I run away from the king's house, God. Mm-hmm. You can have all the excuses you want. God told Moses, you got Aaron, the Levite. You got the priesthood. You got the man of God here. Mm-hmm. You take him with you. You take him with you. What do you got in your hand, Moses? That's what God asked Moses. I just got a piece of stick, a rod, Lord. I said, throw it down. Ah! It becomes a serpent. Pick it up, it becomes a rod again. Put your hand. See, you don't have to be afraid for sin to infect the church. That's what God's got a man of God for. You just bring them in. But they don't know how to act. And, you know, you're going to have, I have people come visit our church and we worship. And they don't know how to dance apostolic. So they're up there doing. One woman coming there, she kept doing this. And she was just happy. So what'd you do? So I went over and shouted with her. I showed her how to shout it, and she started looking at my feet, and she started going. She couldn't get it together, but she did her best. What are you saying? We're going to have people come in when we have revival. You're going to have people come in that don't know how to act in church. Their kids don't know how to sit down and behave in church. That's why I've got a woman pointing my church. We get a bunch of kids like that. See, ushers on back said, we're going to have children's church tonight. Come on here. Get them on out of here. Why? We need to pray mom and daddy through the Holy Ghost. You say, did you tell her to do that? No, she just done it one night. I told her, I said, that's your job from now on, and you're good at it. You see, a lot of times we want everybody else to do everything. Well, if the pastor was really had it together, he'd have them kids sitting down. Why don't you help mama? Don't step out of place. You got a pastor's wife. But I didn't know, she eased over to my wife and says, you think I can take them kids on out and just so their mom and daddy won't have to mess with them? And I got to preach to them. and I baptize Mama and Daddy in Jesus' name. It didn't look like us, but they look like us now. They didn't act like us. She was up there doing the twist. I can't do that, but ever how y'all do it, or whoever how they do it. Jed's up there just doing this twist thing, you know. What'd you do? I just worship God. Because you know what she's doing? She's doing that because she's feeling something. She's not doing that because she's trying to be ungodly. And it may look that way sometime, but they're doing that because they come in amongst us. The Bible said when you come into the sanctuary of God, you come into an innumerable amount of angels. You come into a place with power. You come into a place where the vessel can be filled. Can I tell you, let's don't limit God. Let's don't limit what God can do. Don't limit, hey. If you get somebody in church under 30 anymore, they got tattoos on them. They're tatted up.
Yeah.
You get somebody 40 and under, they've had two or three wives.
Yeah.
What do? You preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got people in my church. I got a man in my church, brother, that was a hitman for the cartel.
All right.
So what did you tell him? I told him, you go up there. Don't you run from them. You go find the head man and you look at him in the face and listen, God's changed my life. You can kill me. I know that's what y'all do. My mouth is sealed because I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm going to turn around and walk out of here and go back to church and raise my family in church. He turned his back and walked out. They've never bothered him to this day. You want me to tell you why? The anointing was in him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He got filled with a power. You don't have to be afraid of what you have. You've got what you need. Hey, church, it's time us take the limits of what God's given us and let God fill the vessel. Let God fill the church.
Oh, yes.
Bishop, you're not as empty as you think.
No.
Church, you're not as empty as you think. When God gave me this message, I walked in the mirror this morning. I looked in my mirror and I said, Abernathy, you're not as empty as you think. And I smiled at myself. And then I thanked myself for telling me that. You say, why? Because sometimes we got to renew our spirit. David said, renew in me a right spirit, O God. If there ever was a time we need revival renewed in the church, it is right now. You're not empty. You're not left alone. You've got what it takes to have revival in Augusta, Kansas right here. You can bring revival to this corner. Tell the police officers that sit out there and direct traffic. But we need a bigger place. We need more parking. Just get you bring them in. God will give you a bigger parking place. He'll give you a bigger. Don't you worry about it. Fill the house up with vessels. But I won't have no place to sleep. Don't worry about it. Brother, your oil's still real. The oil still stays. Hey. It's time to quit fighting my depression. You hear me? In Jesus' name. Your oil's real. Your oil's real. Come on, young men. Your oil's real. Believe in your Holy Ghost. You're not just a young boy anymore. When they turned 12-year-old in the Old Testament, they were considered men. Some of you need to get rid of that boy attitude and say, I am a man of God. I've been called of God to take the truth and to take the message. Take the word of God. Take the limits off of your abilities. Take the limits off of your witness. Take the limits off of I can't do it. And say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I know I've got to stop. I don't want to take too much more time, but I just want to tell the church tonight, come to the music, musicians. I've got about half of my message preached. And if I go any further, I'll have to finish it, and I don't have time. The issue in the church is not that we don't have the anointing. Come on, can I talk to you a minute, church? Can I just talk to this church a moment? If I'm not looking at you, please turn and look at me. But I want to talk to this church, and I have a word of the Lord. When he called me yesterday, I said, God hasn't given me anything specific. I'll go to prayer with you. God gave me something, brother. I told you today. Thank you for the invitation. Let me deliver what God gave me. But I'm here to tell you,
oh yes, Jesus,
you're not empty.
Hallelujah.
You're not burnt out. You're not too old to win a lost soul. I was in Walmart, and I was walking down the aisle, and there's this young man about your stature. I walked by him, and something spoke to me. I stepped back and said, what's your name, son? Shake my hand. Don't stand there. Look at me. He says, it's Israel. I said, well, Israel, do you know anything about the Bible? He says, yeah, some. I said, you know who Israel was in the Bible? He had the 12 tribes of Israel. I said, you know, God's calling young men like you. And he started crying. Brother Worth, he started weeping. He says, I don't know what to do. I said, come and go with me. He says, where are we going? I said, we're going to go to the church. I took him to the church, and I set him down in my office, and I gave him a Bible study right then and there on repentance from sin. He started weeping. He says, I'm sorry, but he says, I said, repentance is more than words. You got to turn your back on sin. You got to make your mind. He said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. He said, what is this baptized? What does that mean? Do y'all sprinkle? What do y'all do? I said, no. I said, let's pray. Pray. And he began to weep, and he was asking God to forgive him. I said, come on, I'm going to show you what water baptism is in Jesus' name. I took him to the baptistry up there in that cold water. I baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. Can I tell you, he hasn't missed a service. He's at church tonight worshiping God. He brought his two sisters this morning to church, and there they are, loving God and worshiping God. I'm giving. His mama was already Jesus' name, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, but can't understand English. She says, I may not be able to understand what they say, but I feel it's the Holy Ghost. I'm giving Bible study to his two sisters Tuesday night. I promise you I'll baptize them both in the name of Jesus Christ Wednesday night, because somebody went and got some vessels. My grandson, him and another preacher boy in my church, they're working out together, and they got to work, and I got to witness in this guy, and this guy said, I want to be part of y'all's group. They said, come on, go to church with us. He come to church, and I gave him a Bible study. I'm baptizing him Wednesday night. Oh, he's not like us. See, he's got an ankle bracelet on. He's got to spend 40 more days in jail on Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays twice a month, so he can only come to Sunday service twice a month right now. But I'm baptizing him. He said, what about this breast? I said, we'll wrap that thing up in saran wrap, and we're going to baptize you in Jesus' name. Can I tell you, if you'll bring the vessels in, if you, God will minister to them. God will fill them. But it's up to us. God, the man of God told the woman, what have you got in your house? I've got the Holy Ghost in my house. But he said, go get some vessels and you pour that oil. She didn't lose her oil. The Bible says her oil stayed. Don't be afraid. You're not going to lose out with God. So in the name of Jesus Christ right now, I would like everybody to stand to your feet in this building if you would. And I want to pray with you right now.